Yeah, thanks, Hank, for alerting that the connection got back. So we reconnected now. Typically at Skype, it is at 1 hour 6 minutes nowadays. It used to be 44 minutes.
Yeah.
But let me reconnect back to just recapitulate where we were in the story of Mathemusics. You introduced the concept of the circular breathing, and you explained that you inhale, basically empowering your body with oxygen, firing up the system. But actually, the oxygen cools down the electromagnetic effect by ordering it. In the holding of the breath cycle, you balance the, let's call the free electron versus bound electron state. You recalibrate your involvement in the environment. With the exhaling, you can actually discharge charges of the body, calm the system down, reintegrate it in the environment, but also within itself. And in the holding phase, you then calibrate it again, but now in the inverse manner. So there's one calibration in the body and there's one calibration in the environment. And I was just explaining that thanks to your introduction to this connection between fear and love, then you can see that the breathing cycle of fear is based on reflexes of the past, which are always frozen memories with local electrical fields locked into the system, while the experience of love is that same electrical field, that same electrical charge, but now no longer frozen, but participating in the whole circulation. And that is part of what happens when you lengthen the fourfold circular breath cycle parts by adding more heartbeats to each of the four parts of that cycle. So in expanding the breathing cycle, you actually go from fear, which is a locked in state, which you earlier called the disconnected state, and then you turn that out into the love state, which is the connected state. And that is, of course, a very important principle of healing and health.
Yeah.
And that is also the essence of Mathemusics, that the cacophony is the result of parts of the circulation in the body being broken off and getting in the way of the other part of the continuity of the rest of the circulation. And healing is to digest, to reintegrate, to reorganize those frozen parts by discharging the charges of them so that they become part of the whole circulation again. And then that power, which was caught frozen into those fears, those reflexes, dysfunctional reflexes locked in the body, which are actually the principle of aging, then those fears, those reflexes, are put back into circulation again, and of course then they empower the circulation as a whole again, which is why the Chinese call that process the principle of rejuvenation. And that breathing cycle, which you introduced in the conversation for Mathemusics now, is actually a key to do that. Hank, there's a practical consideration. At some point your time for today will end?
Yeah, somewhere in half an hour, yeah.
Okay, within that half an hour, would you be able to connect up what we have just been talking about, the breath cycle and the immune system, to the Merkaba meditation?
I was waiting for that. Yeah, so if we have this this holotropic breath, the sing breath, and the breath of Wim Hof with the Iceman, it's called the Tummo breath of the Buddhist, to raise this kind of awareness, but also to cope with fear. So actually, it's a way to deal with the most harsh problems in the world, in your world. And not to get in fear, but just if you are in fear, just put more oxygen into it. There's nothing happening, actually. It's just your own fear. And if you put more oxygen in, the fear is dissipating. So, and by doing so, you see the possibilities that are still there. You don't have to run. You can just dissolve the whole situation in 99 out of 100. So it's just simple as that. Now going to this electromagnetic spin of the Merkaba breathing. So Merkaba breathing, the first six breaths are organized in the same way as the fourfold breath. So we've talked already about this breath. Then after that, you have a breath to suck in the energies from earth and heaven in your sex chakra or your gravity point, if you want to have more neutral explanation for it. And then you give it a blow like this. And then this small ball you have in your sex chakra is surrounding you like a bigger ball, let's say a diameter of 2 meters, and then this has to be stabilized. So then you get this compression of your upper part, your thinking pole. Above the diaphragm, and your living pole down under your diaphragm. So that's it has to balance up and underworld, upper world and underworld. So after that has happened, you start to do another breath, and that's the breath to get your tetrahedrons running in a certain speed. But you start first.
Hank, you have to slow down a bit on this.
Okay.
Because the people listening to you now are wondering, where does that tetrahedron come from?
Okay, yeah.
And how can it have a speed? What you're talking about is a visualization.
A visualization.
So let's go back a step.
You
start with a fourfold cycle.
Yeah.
But you add to that fourfold cycle a visualization. You bring in the air into the body, but you specifically direct the air to the base of the spine. So you visualize a ball of light there.
Yeah.
But essentially what you're doing is you use the breathing in combination of a feeling and in combination with the image.
Yeah, and an image. Yeah. So let's be more exact on this, because I was running too quick through it. You're right, completely. So you have this fourfold phases breath, and when you start with this, you have in your imagination, you make a tetrahedron. That's one hand above your head, and it's when you're just standing up, the underside of this tetrahedron. That's just right on your knees if you're standing.
Have to go back on this one again, because a tetrahedron is a triangle, but then in three dimensions. It's four triangles connected up. So people need to have the clear image of an equilateral triangle, but then four of those triangles together making a tetrahedron.
Yeah.
And that tetrahedron is created as an image, but projected around the body. So in a way, you step into that image of the tetrahedron.
Yeah.
You just imagine that you're in a tetrahedron.
Yeah, right in the middle. Yeah.
But in this case, you need to see that the tetrahedron has a horizontal plane at the bottom of the body.
Yeah.
And the point of the tetrahedron is at the level of the head.
Yeah.
So it is important to realize that these images are important, because through the images we in fact play with this electromagnetic field, but also with the information field in the body.
Yeah.
Before we talked about the fears being frozen parts of information and life being the flowing part of information, all of our body is a flow of information within that material structure. But by thinking thoughts, we actually guide the flow of these information fields, these electromagnetic and light information fields in our body. So the thought of a tetrahedron actually has a kind of feeling for our body, but it actually creates a kind of funneling of that electromagnetic field in the body. We are not just thinking about a tetrahedron. Our body is actually responding by that with the memory, with the thought, with the idea of a tetrahedron, which is an electromagnetic field in the body. So it's very important to realize that, because that is then connected to the art of breathing, which is that circulation of basically the cells turning over by themselves.
Yeah.
So we are not just imagining things. We are actually using images to organize the electromagnetic field in our body, which is the equivalent of a thought, which can then be fueled by the breathing. And it's important to realize that when when you talked about the tetrahedron, you actually need to see that tetrahedron in the right place, because you want to have the right thought in the right place in the body.
Yeah.
So you're stepping into the tetrahedron. It's like you have a skirt from the head to the neck to the hips going out.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can actually holding a hula hoop, but then with triangle at the bottom. And then you rotate that triangle.
Yeah.
So please take it up from there again. I just felt the need to help people to see that it is really important to get the picture in place, because they're actually putting a thought in place so that they can fuel it by the breath.
Shall we also refer to the Magen David on the Israeli flag?
You could, but it's more confusing because politics has nothing to do with it.
No.
And people,
just the way to die and to start living, and et cetera, et cetera. So,
a lot of the religions are aware of this, and a lot of politics abuse this.
Yeah.
So we are not talking about the health part of this, which has nothing to do with the religion and the politics, but something that people can experience in themselves. But yes, that symbol of the Star of David on the flag of Israel. Is the old symbol, which actually was found much earlier than that in Tibet and China. It's one triangle pointing up, one triangle pointing down, in such a way that they are composed of triangles within triangles. There is a balance outside and inside. So that's important again. And then, as you just alluded, you need to have two of these Merkaba, two of these tetrahedra connected. Basically, the word Merkaba talks about two of these connected tetrahedra spinning around.
Yeah.
And then we come to the trick of changing the rate of spin. So please explain all of that.
Yeah. Then when this is this upper world and underworld is stabilized more or less, then you can speed the spin up. So when you are more in an, let's call it in this way, in a more catabolic and an acid spin, what we usually are if we don't breathe properly, then there's a moment that you say, start up the engine, and you say, and then you say equal speed. So because there are different speeds in this tetrahedra going. But your electromagnetic body knows that already, because it's much smarter than we are, and it's much more adaptive than we can ever imagine. So you need to be some a little bit humble in that way. So it's not your brain; it's actually the electrons going around you doing much more than your brain can ever imagine. So there's this moment that you start to up, you start this thing up with equal speed. Then these tetrahedrons that you have imagined, they start to run.
Hang on before you go on with that, because there are two options. Either you have them spin in the same direction, or you can have them spin in opposite direction.
Yeah.
I assume that you're starting with spinning in the same direction. Because it is important to see that you combine spin in the same direction with spin in the opposite direction at the same speeds.
Yeah.
But you also then have the option to do it at different speeds.
Yeah.
Okay, so it starts with the circular breathing. Mm-hmm. Then it continues with breathing into the base of the spine, feeling the base of the spine. And then using that as from that base of the spine, blowing that up as a tetrahedron, which is at the size of the body,
mm-hmm.
and then with the breathing from the top of the head, having a ball of light in the head, from there having a tetrahedron grow again to the size of the body, so that you have one tetrahedron pointing up, one tetrahedron pointing down in opposite directions at the size of the body, and then with the breath you rotate them, and with your mind you say, okay, same speed.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. And then you wait a little or a breath or you just go on with the next breath. And the next breath is that you say that there's a certain ratio of the golden mean, and it's 34-21. The outside is going in that speed, and the other one is going around in the other way on 21. So that's but it's all golden ratio. So you could also say golden ratio, but they prefer to do it because it's on that kind of on that chakra level you are playing with. So they call the precise number of the chakra spin that's coming around this place.
And at which moment do you then let the tetrahedra start to rotate in opposite directions rather than the same direction?
That's actually happening automatically. So you don't have to say this because it's natural that it goes in the opposite way. But that's actually the state if you do 34-21. That's the state that you also start to rotate in different ways. Because with equal speed they are going around in the same direction, and they're speeding up so that it becomes stable and it starts to expand already a little bit, and then you tune it to a higher speed, so it speeds up in 31 now let's say 34-21, and after this has happened, you have to proceed right away because it's part of the speeding up. So you need to go right away with the last breath, and then you say 9/10 of the speed of light. So you don't. It's better not to go to the speed of light, because then it's more difficult to have your mind at this place, because when you go at the speed of mind, you could be easily expanding too much, and then it could be difficult to come back to your place, especially when you're a beginner. First practice this on the 9/10 of the speed of light.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add something again, because for people who first hear this, they think this is a kind of madness. You say words, you imagine something, and you might go crazy out of that. How does that work?
Yeah.
As mentioned before, we are talking about mathemusics. We are talking about cell communication. Cell communication is in part physical with molecules. In fact, all of these molecules are chemical charged exchanges. So we shouldn't even look at the chemistry of it, but we should look at the charged aspect of it. And then when we look deeper into that, we see that the electromagnetic field is actually part of a light field. So that light, electricity, chemistry and physics is one. It's just a change of phase of the electromagnetic field. So we should stop thinking about physicality and instead think in terms of phase changes, exactly as the alchemist described. So once you realize that you're actually dealing with a supercomputer in which phase changes determine the transitions from physics to chemistry to electromagnetism to information and light fields, then you can also understand that if you want to work with this computer, you need to speak computer code.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you start with the breathing and you start with the visualization, you start with the imagination, you're trying to evoke a feeling, but that feeling is actually, in order to be able to address the electromagnetic field in the body, which is that cell communication which shapes our body. So actually we're now talking, let's call it computer language, or more precisely assembler language. We're now talking the language of the cells which assemble our whole body. So in playing with these images, the images are just like the computer code, so that the computer can know what it is asked to do. And it is very important to realize that this body of ours is a supercomputer, and most people never program it, they never ask it to do anything. They just play Pac-Man and see things unfold, and they're fascinated. But if you realize that you can actually program it, things are very different. So with this Merkaba meditation, you start with the breathing cycle, you add to that the visualization of a ball of light at the base of the spine and at the top of the head. From these balls, you then go into the shape of a tetrahedron, one pointing up, one pointing down, overlapping in the middle, in balance. Then you let them rotate. And once they start to rotate, you let them speed up. And at some point, they will seem to appear as if rotating in opposite direction. That's a funny effect, but a bit like the cartwheels that you might see on a television. They appear to turn backwards, basically because their phase relationship to what goes on around us is calibrated. So at the moment that they seem to go backwards, you know that they are connected to the outside field, to the environment field, because you see the phase relationship flipping between them. And that is the moment that you then say, okay, now that the inside and the outside are fixed, because I see the wheel seemingly spin backwards, now I want to connect the inside to the outside in the golden mean ratio. And then in the Merkaba meditation by Drenvalo Melchizedek, it is presented as simply the command for the computer of 3421. And as you said, you can as much say golden mean. Yeah. And then you warned that when you do this, it is helpful to make it real for your own understanding first. So when you start doing this, you're still breathing, you're still visualizing, you're feeling what goes on. And with your thought, you then program the computer, say, I want to be able to still understand this. I still want to operate this within my body frame of reference. And that's why you said, then say 0.9 times the speed of light. You can also say just below the speed of light. Yeah. Or up to the speed of light, but not beyond. Then your mind knows that the electric field in your body needs to be connected to what happens in the body. But as implied, once you get used to that, once you get the hang of this, once you actually know how that computer programming works at that level, and also when your cells are used to this, then you can go beyond the speed of light. But it's just like riding a bicycle. First learn to get the balance before you go for the race. If you do it the other way around, things can't break up. Yeah. And that's where I sort of asked you to okay, let's slow down a bit.
Yeah.
Because this is really important that people understand that we're not talking about symbols. We're not talking about breathing anymore. We're not talking about computer programming at the bit level of the cell communication, which is the core of Mathemusics. Okay, Hank, please take it on to the next step, because now we're at 0.9 times speed of light. Yeah. We have the triangles rotating in the golden mean ratio. We have this connection that they appear to be turning in both directions, so inside and outside are connected.
Yeah.
What's next?
So then you say 9/10 of speed of light, and then a flying saucer comes from your ass, and it's about your 10 times your body length. It's getting completely horizontal. So then you're sitting on your perineum, or how's it say in English?
Perineum.
Perineum is the center point of it, and that's also the fixation point, and it starts to go in this very high speed, the 9/10 of the speed of light. And so it, and then you can feel the first time, most of the time it wobbles because you're not used to this kind of high speed in your consciousness. But if you're used to it, or that you are in good shape. So don't forget, normally when you are in good shape, this thing is already running. Eh? So it's not nothing new. So if you are in shape, you don't experience anything. And when I do it, just like yesterday, when I had this low blood pressure thing going and high blood pressure thing going, that was not spinning well. And I did it. That was remarkable. That was wonderful that it was so easily balanced by it. So it's magic if you do it. But if you're just normal in a good shape and you try to go for a gold medal, then I suppose that it's already running very well. And I've also worked with Olympian athletes. And actually what they did, they were not aware of it. But before they did this tremendous exercise and won. But sometimes you can also lose and have it running, so it's not you don't have to do it to win, but it's just to keep you really good in good shape. So they just give this, and then already it starts. So if you are in good shape, you only have to do this plop sound, and it starts to work for you. Yeah, and in the right speed, etc. So you don't have to say 21, 34, and so it's already there. But as more, if you are more out of shape, yeah, then it's very good to do the whole procedure, because it won't start to work with just a simple. Right? It takes more than that. Then, so that's also very very funny to see these different shades of as more as your. Radiance or your electromagnetic fields is more catabolic or into pieces or through the shredder. So we have this experience. Yeah, I feel like I've been through the shredder or the lorry drove over me. Then it's very worthwhile to do an American bar, I can say. So for that reason, you are aware when you feel when you don't feel in the love paradigm, you're actually out of it. So you're in of out. So to get in this love paradigm again, you should need to do something to get there. Some people do this through praying. Other people do it through praying and Merkaba, and you can do it on Merkaba, and you can do it through yoga, you can do it by mental expansion, you can do it by holotropic breathing, you can do it through singing, it's also very easy. So it's not hard, although if you want to dive deeper in it, it becomes a little bit more complex than just a fourfold breath, as you have heard. But don't shy away from it, just try to get some experience in all those areas and see if it works for you. Don't believe us, but just get a feel of it and start exercising, and you will feel the difference. So convince yourself.
Yeah, this is very wonderful, and this brings us to the end of this episode.
Yeah,
I have one question still. You as a singer, you probably have connected this Merkaba exercise with singing.
Yeah.
You probably have discovered that the Merkaba is like the ground tone, and the singing is actually a kind of navigation joystick gear.
Yeah, depending on what you do with your singing. Yeah. So if you just tune on one pitch, yeah.
Can you just briefly say a bit about that? Because that would be a whole story in itself. Too much for now.
Yeah, so I gave also workshops, singing your Merkaba. Or the singing Merkaba, let's say 5, 6, 7 years ago, I did this also for all kinds of people who were Merkaba experienced. And although they were very much Merkaba experienced, they had a very hard time to get the feeling of the expansion from the Merkaba, what you have in singing. I suspected that they were much more trained in this more vast vibration of sound. So sound is actually, you can feel it through the air, you can feel it in your cells, and they are trained it much more on, let's say, on a quantile level, on a photon level, but not on this physical area. So
exactly.
what what the feeling was that they were not enough connected to the minerals to mm-hmm. have this full experience of it. So it took for me, so I did, these were 1 day workshops, and most of the time I had I needed 4 hours to get them a little bit attuned to their own mineral system, because that's ground control to Major Tom, your mineral system. And then we sang up the whole line beyond beyond the Merkaba, because you have also this consciousness around the earth, and you have also universal consciousness, etc. So you try to beam it up to Christ consciousness. That's 100 kilometers around the earth, right? So that's called the large ionosphere. So I stayed there, but I actually tried to get it in cosmical consciousness or even universal consciousness. But just that 1 day was only hard working enough to get most of them just in this what they then called in the Drumvelo method in America, the Christ consciousness. And that's not a religious consciousness, but that's a kind of consciousness you beam up to.
And yeah, for many people that will be difficult, because they hear the word Christ as a religious concept.
Yeah.
And they don't know that Christi was the tribe around Canaan and Judah.
Yeah.
That it has to do with the Essenes, and actually people using these kind of frequency tunings of the supercomputer of the body. As mentioned before, when you go at below the speed of light in that system, you operate within the physical. When you go beyond the speed of light, you are no longer working with the physical, but you're working with the electromagnetic field, which is not physical. It's a different dimension. And the reason to do the connection between the sound and light has been explained by the principle of tetrionics. When Kelvin Abraham talked about the Apollo constant, that when you look at the electromagnetic changes, which we know as the spectrum of the energy charge discharges of the atom, then at the level of sound, you can see that the same happens for the cell. So sound and light are connected. They're basically just another part of the same spectrum. And by working with the Merkaba as a visualization, which is playing with the light image, and connecting it with the singing, which is a sound image, in the body, you're actually connecting mind and body, or the atoms and the cells. And as you described, Henk, when you do these kind of calibrations, you're actually retuning the body in the same way that people send their car to the garage to be retuned, so that the firing of the pistons in the proper sequence, so that it works very well again. And as you said, for you, the blood pressure, which was too low, too high, which was sort of lost its calibration, came back in balance.
And that's a very powerful way to recalibrate. But as people are so trained in this photon-like emission imagination, they forget that there's a really mineral, earthly, base ground thing going on, and that you're still those flesh and bones. But including all those imagination and also this tremendous connectedness that is there, but also within you. It's God within you, but also God outside of you.
Yeah, and God, by the way, is the generative principle of generate, operate, destroy, which is the principle of shifting the boundary. And so this formula as a whole is I, God, integrate, generate, operate, destroy, which is the principle of shifting the boundary, which is seeing that a part is always a part of the whole.
Yeah, and then by doing this singing on this axis of the Merkaba, but then on the vertical axis, so we can sing on this horizontal axis of the Merkaba, And then you get this, let's say, ecstasy, oxytocin level. But I didn't give workshop around it because I supposed that it would be too much tantric and too much into people fall in love with each other. So I decided just to go in the horizontal way to connect up with what we call the cosmos or God or whatever, and to sing along those lines. And later on, as I saw that people had a lot of difficulty with getting this vertical principle in their system and training it and reframing it in their bodily existence, I said to myself, maybe it's better to do it on with this horizontal field and expand that more and more. But then people are so interconnected and they lose their boundaries towards people, and they have already so much fears of these boundaries. So I say, I have to rethink and to put some pilot studies on it, how it really would work in a workshop. So
I used a solution for that, which is basically that you can sing along the vertical line, which is basically connecting mind and body, or earth and spirit. You can sing on the horizontal line from back to front, which is basically connecting past and future. Basically, it expands the present into presence. And you also have the singing along the horizontal line, which is that of acceptance and expression. And when you do all three of them, you can bring them down to the midpoint, and then you can combine the inside and the outside. But these things work better if you do that between two people or more people, because at that point, basically what the one is singing on the inside is what the other hears as singing on the outside. So the inside and the outside, and then becomes a balance. And there is this phase that people will have to let go of this notion that there is sex or that there is love or that there is oneness and allness. And at some point they realize that it is all connected. And it's like realizing that you're no longer in the egg, you're no longer in the nest, but that you can go out and fly. And as the Chinese have it, they also have the birds that can then fly to the moon and fly off to other planets, other galaxies. So it's basically growing up by realizing that you are not your body, that your mind is not your perception of the environment, that your soul is not the life that you live now, and that your spirit is not the reality that you perceive as you seem to perceive it. But that, in fact, for all of those, there is another side. And then it's like through the looking glass, that story was basically that when you look into the mirror, you need to be able to not see your reflection, but you be able to look through the mirror to see what you do not see, as Carlos Castaneda and others described. So then the singing into these axes, you combine them all and you do that between people, and then the balance can be restored. Hank, you said that this is approximately the time that you need to round off. I want to thank you again for a fascinating discovery tour. And so many things fell in place again. I'll try to do what you asked me to do, to write down the part of the electromagnetic field balancing. And I'm really glad that you described how you do that with the sound field field balancing, because they are just all other parts of each other. Very much excellent examples of what is meant by this whole concept of mathemusics. And as usual, I'd like to ask you to round off this episode. And I hope that next time we can go more into this singing along the vertical axis and the phenomenon of Kundalini.
That's very interesting, because there were in those workshops very tremendous experiences, although people were hardly aware of it. So I said, how come that people are so trained and not aware of these? But yeah, if you're not used to become conscious of it, it's hard to to get there, and then it's just a gray area, a misty area, so I was astonished that people who were well trained in those areas, that they still had a hard time to create any awareness there. But for me, it's so naturally grown that for me, mm-hmm. it's usual, and I supposed, of I imagined that it was also when you do that so often that it works for everybody in the same way, but that was not the case. So I was a little bit shocked by that. So yeah, but then you don't have it, you can't integrate it well enough into the earth, and that's also what I see with a lot of people who do this. Very good things that they have a lot of problems to ground it, to root it into the earth, to be connected in the physical, to that it's all also our minerals are involved in that, and then they see it as a imagination, but it's reflected in the material that of which your body is made of, and that's very fascinating stuff.
Yes, and that's very much the core of Kundalini and Tantra.
Yeah.
To realize that when you actually start to program the computer, these electromagnetic fields of coherence and consciousness in the body, that actually changes your perception of everything around you.
Yeah.
And not reality changes, but your perception of reality changes. It's like growing up from a baby to a child to the adolescent to the adult. Yeah. You discover that there's more to be seen and that, in fact, you are more than you thought that you were.
Yeah,
but that gives responsibilities also,
and that's what you called in this kind of terms of psychedelic terms subspace. And you're not really in the space, but you're in subspace. And what I tried to do with this Merkabah singing, that was to get people really into space. But it was already a hard time to get them completely filled up with this Christ consciousness experience. So it's another wet dream to go beyond.
Well, Henk, let's invite some people.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you have the one side of the story. I have the other side of the story.
Yeah.
To work with these four axes is something I've been doing in many ways without the Merkabah. For you to work with the Merkabah without these four axes, you've been doing.
Yeah.
So let's sit together. The two of us do it, and all the other people can experience it too.
I would really like it, and I think a lot of people would be very interested in it. But then the point is for the practical reasons, a lot of people they can't join that. Huh? So if you make it a mental thing, then they lost this connection with their body. So they have this wonderful spatial experience, but it's not connected to the body, and that's the thing that I need to preserve for them, also for myself, to make a mess out of it. So it's not. It sounds very easy, but it's a lot of people. I think we need to do quite some training that people are more acquainted with it and then do it.
On the one hand. Kelvin Abraham, in his introduction of the Apollo constant in these mathematics conversations, has already shown that how that link works.
Yeah.
And the other part is that if you never start to talk to a baby, the baby will never learn. If we tell each other of our discoveries, then we can, as a culture or as humanity, not grow.
Yeah,
so it's about the discovery more than what we know, and about the trust more than the fear. And the psychic breathing, which was the core of this conversation, is a wonderful tool to resolve that.
Yeah, and it's everybody, since everybody breathes, who's alive? So that will be not the most difficult thing to do, but then the experience. But it's also very nice to put already some things into place also from Tetrionics and Music Matha in this, and just produce a workshop around it, and so that you can learn more about it and see how it works, and because my life or my living procreating my knowledge has also more or less stopped, because I could not get through this ceiling in one way or another, and I needed indeed some more math and some more male things. Yeah, it's just a vector and thinking along vectors to get it to the next level, and also to steer it much better, because it's quite a complex area.
True. Yeah. And also, at the moment that you keep on saying below light speed,
yeah,
this exercise will not show you what's beyond.
No.
But in the same time, if the ceiling of where we get is what we keep on doing, we will not get beyond. So it's all a matter of knowing that we can get beyond. But that works easier with groups of people together, because we all have discovered our limits in a different way.
Yeah,
it's like pieces of the puzzle. Every piece has its limits, but when you connect them up in an interesting way, that where they actually fit up, you see that these self-limitations dissolve, and that the larger picture emerges, which is carried by each, but none of them can see it in that way. And that's the interesting part of having groups of people together. Okay, so that's a wonderful idea to turn these talks into a practical experience at some point. That probably rounds it off for now.
Yeah.
With a continuation in these same ideas, but then along the understanding of the Kundalini for probably next time.
Yeah, wonderful.
And again, this is very inspiring, Henk. Thank you very much.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, you too, Otto, because I guess that it would get in some direction one way or another, but now it's now getting more clear views about it. So, okay, this is something we could really do with it, and also to get other people also involved in our music math story, but also with hands-on, because if it's only mental and talking, then it's just what Calvin does with his mathematical and his tetrionics. That's also wonderful, but the whole thing, it has to also be inspired with human experience.
Yeah. So on the one hand, we are definitely involved in science in the making.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you say, well, we shall definitely also turn it into realizing reality.
Yeah. That's one of the my main goals with it, and also for my own how I like to procreate my own work and to give it through other generations. It's very worthwhile to do it and to get it one way or another sustainable on a level for the let's say for the next 50 or 100 years, that people can really can do something with it.
So that's what we build towards. Math music is definitely a vehicle for that.
Yeah.
And we certainly had another fascinating exploration conversation for that.
Yeah, indeed.
Henk, thank you very much, and till next time.
Yeah. See you, and have a very good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.